Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. If you want to see a recent picture of Cyrus, I posted one on Twitter. You look so happy in that picture, Cyrus.
This could have been me in another life.
Your loving life
with different choices at specific moments of my past.
Did Melanie crochet that outfit for you?
She might have. Yeah.
You look so happy.
Man, where can I get one of those?
Yeah, you look like you're on your way to do the show in the morning. Coming down from your mountain cabin.
All right. I'm moving on.
With your walking stick.
Get out of here.
It's true. Yes, it's true. That's Cyrus. If you want to see him.
That is not me.
It's a great picture of you, Cyrus. Man. You've been working out. That's all I can say.
Thanks.
Always picture you, Cyrus. Even when I just think of you, I think of this. This is what I think of.
Well, quite honestly, this is better than most of the pictures you post of me on social media. So thanks.
Well, thanks for thanks. Thanks for admitting that it actually is you, because it is you. 888-914-9149. We'll go back to the phone starting right now. Let's go to Rob in South Jersey. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, Patrick. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Welcome.
Beautiful. I just want to thank you, your insight and your perspective. I live in a tent, and I've been living in a tent for about 10 years now, off and on. But listening to Relevant Radio, it still helps me grow spiritually, even though I'm in a tent, and it's not by choice. It's because of the rents are so expensive, and I can't get a job that can, help me live. I go through this ratio that if I can make my rent in 2 weeks, I'm okay. If it takes me 3 weeks to make my rent, then I'm not okay, because that last week has to be for food and clothes, and it doesn't work. So I find staying in a tent, I can avoid paying rent. But another side effect of being in a tent is you do tend to isolate and medicate. Okay. And so that's some of those people that don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to move because if you go to a place, you have to take care of it. You have to mow your lawn. You have to be accountable. Some people don't want that. And in my case, it's like, well, I want the place. I want to be able to take care of it, but I can't get the employment. I had a little bit ago diverticulitis, and then I had a colostomy bag. So I'm doing this from the woods. But I'm not in a big place like you guys are talking about with all the tents all over the place. Okay. I found a small spot of woods that's really incognito, where it's got everything all around me, but nobody would know that I'm in this little area. Okay. And so it's served me well.
What is it like for you in terms of safety? I mean, do you ever think that you're in danger that somebody might come and jump you or take your stuff or worse?
Yes. At first you really have those thoughts. It takes me, whenever I go to a new place, it's about 3 nights, but you got to get used to the noises that are around the first night. Second night, kind of familiar. Third night, you go sleep. But yes, I never know because there's no walls, there's no doors, there's no locks. I'm in the woods and I figure I don't own the place. So if somebody else wants to come, they're free to. Mm-hmm. And if I don't get along with them, I figure I'll just leave and go find another place. I have a whole lot of faith, too. I believe that, everything happens for a reason. And if that does happen, it's meant to be. I'm not going to spend my time worrying about that. Yes, please.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't mean to cut you off. Finish your sentence, though. I'm interested in what you had to say.
About not being getting used to having an open door all the time. It gets kind of nice because then the whole world becomes like your living room. You go to the supermarket, that's like going to your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. You go to the lake, and that's like going to your bathroom. But yeah, I'm here to answer any questions you have because I have quite a bit of knowledge on this.
So, I mean, the natural questions that I'm sure other people are wondering right now, were you ever married? Do you have any kids? Did you have to leave that kind of a life? Or did you go from being single and employed and in an apartment to being in the tent now? Or what route did you take, if you don't mind me asking that?
Sure. Well, no, single, no kids, no wife. All my mistakes have been my own, thank God. And then when my health went down, I started to find, you know, ways to medicate myself, okay. Alcohol and other forms of alcohol.
Okay.
And then I was doing that for a little while to medicate to go to work, but, you know, that never works. And then so my health got worse, and I ended up not being able to work, so I had to get on welfare.
Okay.
And that's what allows me to eat and to buy my little necessities. But I'm kind of like in a trap because I'm not healthy enough to get a job that can pay the rent. So it's a lot easier to go to Walmart and buy a tent for $30 or however much money you have than to go put a down payment on an apartment. So that's a barrier. And I was given an apartment. They say that they can give you 12 months free rent, but you have to go to a shelter.
Oh.
And you know, so I go to a shelter for 2 months. They find me an apartment. I move into the apartment. I sign a lease for a month, for a year.
Okay.
Well, after 10 months, I'm getting evicted because they're not getting any money. I have to go to court. I get evicted. Now I have an eviction on my record when I had nothing to do with it. I end up homeless back in the wintertime, just exactly where I left a year later, and it's gone through all that trouble.
So they, weren't getting any money, you took this in good faith, assuming that the people who were supposed to get paid would get paid, but whoever made that
promise.
Yeah,
it was a one-year,
okay.
One-year grant for the rent, for the lease, but they had taken off 2 months that I stayed in the shelter off of that grant.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no extensions or anything like that, so.
Okay, so that tells me a lot right there that you're, like you said, you're not living in the tent in the woods because you want to. What about plugging in with, a couple things come to mind. One would be, you mentioned that you're in South Jersey, so I'm assuming you're probably in the Diocese of Camden, maybe? So if you're in the Diocese of Camden, I mean, they have a family services department that if you could touch base with them, they might be able to help you get situated. And get you into a situation like an apartment. That's one idea. Another thought would be
another barrier to that is people don't want to go. They don't. When you live in a tent, you kind of have your own stuff. When you go to that, you're going into a place where there's 30 other people that have problems, and it's almost like jail, but with an open door. I hate to explain it like that, but
But you're talking about a shelter.
That's not very attractive. Yeah.
No, what I'm talking about is there may be a way, and there may be programs available, you could find out by touching base with them, to get into an actual apartment where you have your own place and you can shut the door and be by yourself in your own place without fear. Those kinds of scenarios do exist.
A key that fits a door would change people's mentality. You know, when you put on nice new clothes, you just feel better.
Yeah.
And when you have a key, you just feel like safe.
Yeah.
So it's and then you're able to do more things. So it's that there's a hierarchy of needs, and right now when you're just trying to survive, you can't really think of anything more than you're not going to be able to create anything when you're trying to just eat.
Right.
So I if you have any questions, I do a lot of talking, but
that's okay.
You want to know how?
Well, the one thing I want to mention too, because I am particularly interested in solutions here. Would be the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Now, they live a life of poverty themselves. They have friaries all over the upstate New Jersey and then mainly in New York area. And if you wanted to get in touch with them, I have a feeling they would really know all kinds of resources that would be available to you. Their website is franciscanfriars.com. Franciscanfriars, FRIARS.com. So they have friaries in the Bronx, Yonkers, way further north, but they're in South Orange, New Jersey. They're in Newark, New Jersey. They're in Paterson, New Jersey, in addition to all over the New York area. And if you were to get in touch with them and just say, hey, Patrick Madrid referred me to you, and he thought perhaps you could give me some advice or maybe some tips, I'm sure they would be happy to hear from you. And they would be happy to give you whatever information or suggestions they had. And they're in your backyard.
That's a great lead, Patrick. And then before I go, I just have to thank you and the whole Relevant Radio crew, all your personalities. You guys get me through. I know I'm speaking for a lot of people. There's people in jail that listen to you. There's people in the woods that listen to you. And I feel spiritual growth every day. when I don't listen, I could tell that I'm a little weaker. When I'm when I'm prayed up with you guys doing the chaplet and doing the rosary, I just have a I have the power that I can conquer. I can get through this. I'm not alone. We're all together in this.
That's beautiful.
I want to thank you.
That's beautiful, Rob. Well, we want to do what we can to help you. So being here, first of all, 24/7 by God's grace and the generosity of our listeners, that's how it happens. That's our first contribution to you, Rob. We want to do everything we can. If you're at all interested, after we're done with the phone call, you want to stay on the line, Thomas will pick up with you and get your email address or just some way that we can have a way of contacting you. And it may be that there's, you know, some kind soul who will say, I can help, or, you know, we've got a situation where there's an apartment for rent or something. I mean, who knows what could happen in God's providence. So if you're interested, just stay on the line and Thomas will pick up with you on that. Okay.
All right, Pastor. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, hang in there and say stay warm and well fed, because I know that the weather is hot nowadays. But
it's 110 heat index and -10 wind chill factor. I'm able to survive within those ranges right there. 110 to -10. I'm okay.
You must have a really good tent. You must have a
I've
really
been doing
good
this a while too. I've been doing this. I don't mean, you know, I'm not proud. I'm not ashamed. It's just a fact that I've been doing this a while and I'm halfway decent at it. God is with me. He's the Holy
Where do you
Spirit
get your food and your toiletries? Can you get that from?
I have where I live, it's all within the city block. I have a laundromat. I have a dollar store. I have a 24-hour Wawa. I've got a paper store. I've got an Italian deli. So, no, I'm not hurting for anything, except for a big supermarket. But, look, I'm very grateful for what I have at this moment. Yeah.
Well, we're going to support you in prayer, Rob, for sure. We're going to support you by being here 24/7 for you. And if in God's providence there are other doors that will open, then may they open. And stay on the line, Rob. Thanks for calling in. Very interesting story that you're telling us. And it's something that a lot of people kind of out of sight, out of mind. They don't realize that there are plenty of people who are in your situation, but they become invisible to us. So thanks for making this visible once again. And so stay on the line, please. Wow. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Albert now in Merrillville, Indiana. Hello, Albert.
Hello, Patrick. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes. I just wanted to share my story. It just really touched my heart listening to all this, about the homeless and whatnot. And I just wanted to say anything could happen to anybody at any point. And, you know, sometimes it's just out of your control. I was married for 26 years. My ex-wife just decided literally to up and leave. She gave me no warning, nothing. She just left.
Came home
overnight.
You came home and there was a Dear John letter on the mantelpiece or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. It's not a matter of coming home. Actually, it was on a weekend. Saturday morning, I was home and she literally just grabbed her stuff and left. And I didn't know she was leaving me. She just left.
Wow.
And that was it. Yeah. And to this date, I still don't know why, because she blocked me from everything and never gave me a reason why. And I'll probably go to my death not knowing a reason why. But anyways, you know, it put me in a predicament overnight. I mean, here I am, family man, 25 years, a truck driver. I mean, my whole life, it was great. I've made good money and all that, and then all of a sudden, this happens, leaves me in debt, puts me out of the house. I let her keep everything because I'm a man, driver, and I make good money, and like, you know, 3 or 4 times more than what she was making, and taking away from her, to me, in my thinking, was like taking away from my children, and I wasn't going to fight her just to spite. And so if it wouldn't have been for my job, for me being a truck driver, I would literally have been out on the street like everybody else. But because I'm a truck driver, I just lived out of my truck and worked out of my truck. And I'm literally rolling in my home right now because I still don't have a home. But now it's because of choice. At first, I had no choice. But now I'm able to get – I'm back on my feet, thank God. And, you know, I'm able to get an apartment or a home, but – I mean, everything is sky high, you know, it's so expensive. And I'm actually taking advantage of my situation now and preparing for my future, you know, and to get a home later.
Yeah. So how long have you been effectively homeless where you're living in the cab of your truck? Has that been years and years?
No, it's been 3.5 years now. So, okay. I mean, yeah, it's been not years and years, but it's been quite some time. It's been 3.5 years that I've been doing this. And I work for a great company, you know, and I'm a system driver, as they call us, over the road. I run all 48. I've called you several times before, Patrick. I follow you on Twitter, and I've actually invited you and your wife to go out to eat sometime when I pass through the Columbus. I don't know if you remember or not, but I've
I
actually,
do, now that you mention, you know, it. Yeah, now that you mention it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I've asked you, hey, let's go have a purpose-driven taco dinner or something.
Yeah, we need a purpose-driven taco, that's for sure. So my question is, since things are actually, it looks like things are looking up for you in that you've got this good job, it's a steady job, you're not on the street, do you have a plan to transition back into either homeownership or getting into an apartment, for example, or do you think you're going to stay in this situation indefinitely?
Oh, no, definitely not indefinitely. And I prepared. When I saw, when within the first few months, and I saw that she wanted no communication, she wanted nothing to do with me, and it was definite, I fought for my marriage at first. But when I saw that it was a definite, you know, a done deal, I petitioned for the Diocese of Gary for a declaration of annulment, and yeah. I was granted the annulment, so I've been annulled, and so I'm back on a dating scene after 26 years, which is crazy. And so, eventually, people think I'm a fool for believing in love at my age and after a 26-year failed marriage. But I still believe in love, and I believe, you know, I want to. I'm open to getting married again. And so, yeah, I definitely, I'm just leaving it all in God's hands. And
how about your faith life, Albert? I mean, obviously you've got wheels, so you can get to Mass, and I'm assuming that you're plugged into your faith, going to the sacraments, etc. Is that right?
Yes. 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 Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, I'm happy for you on that score. Thanks for sharing those details. I can imagine that, and I do remember our earlier conversations. I can imagine that there are times when you probably are anxious to get back into what we just talked about, back into a more customary situation. And I'm happy to know, though, that you're being fed and nourished by listening to Relevant Radio. And we'll say some prayers for you, Albert. Thank you. Let's take a break. We're going to be right back with more right after this quick timeout. If you remember that movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, there's a scene where Dell, the guy played by John Candy, at the very end, he sort of reveals that he's actually homeless. And that's why he is the way he is, because he just can't seem to get back to a regular life, so he's on the road all the time. It's a very poignant scene. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah. Good vibes. Always good vibes on the Patrick Madrid Show. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Orange County and talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Patrick. So
yeah, hi, Mike.
I just wanted to share, you know, 8 years ago, I was a full-blown drug addict. I had 5 kids at home and my wife, and as you could imagine, that was in shambles. nothing going for me. Started living out of my Suburban and left my family, chose drugs.
What kind of drugs?
It wasn't by choice. It was by necessity at one point.
Okay. And what kind of drugs, if you don't mind my asking?
Of course, you know, to appease my wife, I decided to go just to get mm-hmm. some lax there and try and stop that fight for a while. Mm-hmm. And I went to a Shalom, it was called Shalom Festival at Marywood in Orange County. It was the last retreat they had at that facility. And Jesse Romero was there, Deacon Ralph Poyo was there, and a bishop from India was there. And something I heard there changed my life. And I got to have like a good confession with the bishop. And don't get me wrong, I was half in, half out. I was even doing drugs at the retreat, hiding it from myself and my wife. And mm-hmm. But that started a chain of events that there were still struggles. But I went to, it's called the Brotherhood of St. Dismas. And through men keeping each other accountable, keeping in contact with everyone, listening to you every morning, and Jesse Romero, the whole lineup. I've been able to be 8 years sober now. And,
wonderful.
Yeah. And I mean, I never fathomed how much I could accomplish with God in my life. You know, I now own a business, thriving business, and I have a full-time career as well. And I finally bought my first home 2 years ago.
Wonderful.
The kids are well-fed and in private school. And, you know, God has just shown me so much that he could do by his graces alone, but by also giving back to everyone that was in my situation. I still go to AA meetings twice a week, 8 years later. And I reach out to those who need, because what I could say is God made these resources like AA, NA for people like me, who just need a kick in the butt once in a while.
Yeah.
Because my drug addiction wasn't my only addiction in life. I had addiction to being a victim, addiction to being having pity parties, and addiction to blaming everything that was going wrong in my life on everyone around me, except mm-hmm. for looking deep in myself.
How are things with your wife now, Mike? Hey, Mike. You know, something happened to Mike's phone. I can hear him talking, but it's not coming through.
Yeah,
let's put Mike on hold.
Let me pick up with him
real quick. Yeah, see if something happened to his audio, and I've got some questions I'd like to ask Mike. What an amazing story! I'm so happy for you, Mike, that things turned around the way they did. Praise God. Let's go. Let's see. Let's go to Michelle in Wisconsin. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Patrick. First of all, I'd just like to say I called in a few weeks ago and I asked advice about can I go to a wedding. Uh-huh. And because of your advice, I didn't go, and I have had some pushback, but it's something about it was just truly freeing. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So my husband and another man, we own some properties, some rental properties, and we have a fifth child on the way. Our partner has six kids. Both of us wives stay home. And I guess I'm kind of asking on the other end of the spectrum, what do you do when, you know, we have some people who won't pay rent and they're just behind and behind and behind. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've never evicted anyone yet because you never want to be the person to do that. But we have a person who's getting very behind. And is that sinful if we would ever have to evict somebody?
Well, no, I don't think it's sinful, because if you have a contract and you're upholding your end of the contract and the other person isn't, you're not doing anything sinful by seeking a remedy for that. Now, the reason the person's not upholding his end of the bargain could be sinful on his part, or maybe it's not sinful. Maybe he got sick, or maybe his wife died, or maybe he... You know, it could be any number of things. You'd have to evaluate that. On the other side of that equation, you could look at it in terms of how it can be meritorious for you to be excessive in your generosity, knowing that this person really needs help. Now, that would be different, it seems to me, Michelle, than if somebody's intentionally taking advantage of you. Somebody who could pay rent but just chooses not to. That's taking advantage of. And if you were to coddle that kind of a renter, you'd really be enabling them. So I don't recommend doing that. But at the same time, if it's a real story of someone who's down on his luck and he really can't make rent and it's not his fault or circumstances have conspired against him, and you said, well, you know what, we'll lower the rent by $200 a month. If you can make that payment each month, we'll do that for you for the next X number of months. I mean, there are ways that you could handle it. But it seems to me that if you can discern that this is somebody who can pay the rent, who just won't, then no, you're not committing a sin if you exercise that clause in your rental agreement that says if you don't pay the rent, you can't live here, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. It's just hard because you never want to be the cause, obviously, of someone. But at the same time, like I said, we have growing families and, you know, we just, okay.
Yeah, so you have to do obviously what's right for yourself and for your family, but at the same time, you know, what did Jesus say? He says, you know, if all it is you're doing good for the people that you know, like your family and friends, he says, what's the big deal with that? I mean, of course, most people are going to do the right thing and help their family and friends. I'm paraphrasing here, but when you help somebody else who is not in a position to help you, that's where you can really gain merit and treasure in heaven. So I'm not encouraging, I'm not urging you to just let that person slide. But if you can see that there's some real reason the person's not able to make the rent and maybe you could help, that's another possibility. So you'd have to evaluate that and see.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, Michelle. Thank you. Appreciate that. 888-914-9149. How about Alicia now in, Alicia, excuse me, in San Antonio.
Good morning. I was calling to talk about Jordan Peterson just released a YouTube video yesterday. It was called A Message to Christian Churches, and it was about how to urge young men to return to church and why.
Okay.
And I thought you would find that very informative, and it is very poignant, and he makes some very, very good cases for them to return.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting
and
is...
And that's what I wanted...
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. What's interesting to me, as I understand it, is that unless he has changed recently, I don't get the impression that Jordan Peterson is himself established in a church or a faith. Do you happen to know if he's gone in that direction?
I don't know. I know his daughter has converted to Christianity, and I do know his wife has, I think, within the past couple of years, become a Catholic.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'd like to see him come all the way home to the Catholic Church. There's a lot about what he has to say that I find very helpful, and he's a very interesting guy, no doubt about it. He sort of burst on the scene 5-6 years ago. And he's become a real weather vane for a lot of people in a good sense, you know, to help them navigate through the strange times that we're in.
Yeah, he's done a whole series on the book of Genesis. You know, he did several talks, which helped clarify some things, I think, and pointed towards the goodness of why you should follow these things.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because, as you know, or as I'm sure you probably know, he was a secularist. He wasn't a religious guy. He's a psychologist by training and an academic until just recently. So he's definitely a thinker and he's a concept guy, but he never came at this from the standpoint of religion that I was ever aware of. So my impression, Alicia, is that he's undergoing a kind of metamorphosis in the direction of becoming a fully fledged Christian, and I hope that leads him into the Catholic Church. I really do. Well, thank you. I didn't know that he had given that audio, or that video, but maybe I'll have a chance to take a look at it. Thank you. Let's go now back to Mike. Mike, we kind of lost your connection, but we have
Hi,
you
Patrick.
Back. I understand. Okay.
Sorry,
so I was asking you, how's the situation with your wife, and that's where we got kind of disconnected.
Okay, so.
I've been 8 years sober, and I've been able to rekindle relationships all around, actually. You know, there's still, you know, here's and there's. She has her fears, you know, everything I dragged her through, of course. But, you know, in time, you know, and with things like Al-Anon and stuff, you know, all that stuff gets mended, and through the grace of God, especially. And leading our family in a Catholic direction. I don't know how much you heard of my story or where I left off, but
Where we left off was that I had asked you how things were with your wife. You mentioned that you had gotten things back on track and you had started a business 8 years ago and that you were doing well again.
Yeah, so through Catholic radio, listening to you every morning on my way to work, and tuning into.
We're having a problem with the phone line again. I don't know what's going on there, Mike, but let me ask you one final question, if you can still hear me. Now that things are back on track, what advice would you have for people who might now be going down that same path that you were going down with the meth and the drug addiction and all of that, things just unraveling? Any 30-second soundbite you would share with somebody who's in that place right now?
So what I would say is God gave us the resources of programs like AA, NA, and you can't do it alone. The relapse rate is 85% of people who are trying to clean off meth. And get a sponsor, get a spiritual advisor, and God gave us the resources for these programs. And it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're a Catholic, it's going to make you a better Catholic, because the 12 steps don't just focus on your use, but they focus on your life. So there's a lot of strings, the spider web of things attached to it.
Got it.
You know, you have self-pity and self-worth issues that need to be overcome.
Got it. Well, that is wise advice, Mike. And the fact that you're listening to Relevant Radio is a way to kind of help you along through this difficult time and through it to the other side. That's great advice as well. I'm really glad you called today, Mike, and thanks for hanging in there and sharing the story with us. Really good stuff. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mike in Philadelphia. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, sir. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Listen, Patrick, I've been sober 35 years, and the only way is to get sober. And, you know, there's people 90% of them on the streets don't want help. And if you try to give them food, they don't want food. They want money. And I can't enable somebody using. Mm-hmm. And I know guys that go on that street, and they think they're going to work. They say, can you drop me off to work? And then they'll get in fights on what corner they have. And then they decide, oh, I'll work 4 hours on this corner. Can you work 4 hours on that corner?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, it's a disgrace, and I can't enable people using. I'll pull up to them. I'll pull up. Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. No, I said I agree. I mean, it's not helping them if you're enabling drug abuse or drunkenness, etc.
No doubt, Patrick. And the only way, AA and NA is a spiritual program. And they don't have God in their life. When they put alcohol and drugs before God, anything before God, you're going to lose. And that's no doubt in my mind. But this is for the people that want it. And I don't know what the solution is, but I know the one solution is being sober. And they don't want it. Patrick, how much food can you eat? People give them the food every day. They don't even want it. They put it on the side, and it's like an insult to them, give them food. And they,
you know, Mike, what you're saying actually rings true for me. There was a time when, one particular time that I remember, there was a woman on the side of the road. It was in Columbus, Ohio, downtown Columbus, and she was sitting on like a milk crate or a box of some sort, and next to her was a little girl, maybe 5 years old. And so the woman held a sign that said, "We're hungry, please help." So I was moved, and I went a couple blocks further down through a McDonald's. I got a Happy Meal for the little girl with an apple and a thing of milk and hamburger, et cetera. And I got a meal for the mother, if it was the mother. And I came back around and parked my car, and I walked over to them. And you know, hi, how are you doing? And she didn't get up or anything. I just handed her the bags from McDonald's. And I said, your sign said you're hungry. I wanted to give you some food. And she looked at me with a look of disgust and irritation. She says, I don't want that. And I said, pardon me? She said, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I thought, well, your sign said you're hungry. And so I realized, okay, whatever. So I put the food down and I walked away, went back to my car. But that, to me, kind of reminds me of what you're talking about, Mike. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show on the other side of this quick timeout. The number is 888-914-9149. I have a line open for you if you call now, 888-914-9149. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Okay, we're back. Let's go straight back to the phones now. We'll start with Terry in Oceanside, California. Hi, Terry.
Oh, hello. Good morning. So, Patrick, I just wanted to kind of talk about backing up with Mike. You just had the conversation with Mike and his addiction and how he dealt with it. Mine was completely different. I think God gives us certain ways to deal with our addictions and coming to Him. Mine was I had to hit a rock bottom after 14 years of being in it. It started off small. I blew up to a great big addict. I sold it. I lived that life. I was a horrible person. My mom, being Catholic, had prayers being said for me. And she stood in proxy in a lot of prayer groups without me knowing, because I was so against coming back to the church, ever seeing God. I was out of the church for 22 years.
But you had been raised Catholic, I take it, right, Terry?
Oh, yes. I did baptism, communion, confirmation. Okay. And so I think the prayers of people for those that are in need are so important. And through this rock bottom, I remember my mom said to me, because I was ready to lose my third job, and she said to me, go to confession. And I fought it tooth and nail. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to go see this God. Well, long story short, I ended up going because I had nothing else better to do. Other than that, the next thing was suicide. I mean, I was just so suicidal. Wow.
What drugs were you doing? And how did, if you don't mind me asking, what drugs were you doing and dealing? And how did it start when you were younger? What was the gateway that led you into that life?
Great question. The gateway was I moved to California from Canada. I'm Canadian. Okay. And I moved to California and I started working in a bar. Restaurant bar. It was not a bad thing, but one person introduced it to me, and I'll never forget it, Patrick. When it first entered my body, it took over. It literally took over, and then I could not stop. And it just went from small to bigger to biggest to I'm going to sell it so I can get more. And you're around those people. I think I would have to say it is a definite substance that's controlled through Satan. That's just my personal opinion, but I truly felt his grip was on me for many years.
Okay. So you were it started with alcohol and it progressed to harder things, drugs, etc. Then you were dealing. Then, as you were saying, your mom said, go to confession, and you thought, well, the next step is suicide, so I'll go to confession. And what happened?
Oh, it's so crazy, because I went there and I thought, well, I can't tell this priest I deal drugs and my lifestyle and what I've been doing, because he'll tell the cops. I mean, you really think you tell this person, they're going to tell somebody. I had no idea the oath that the priest has. And so with Father Dan, and this was in Pleasanton, Northern California, in Pleasanton at St. Augustine's Church, of all churches. I was 33 years old, and I started telling him, you know, I smoke, I swear, I fight with my parents, like small stuff, like I was still a kid when I went back to confession back then. And he asked me one main question that broke open the gates to it all. He asked me what my relationship was like with my father. And that broke everything open, because that was the main reason for the drugs.
Really?
How I grew up. Yes. And so I told him everything. I spewed everything out. This is back in 1997. It still affects me to this day because it was so powerful.
Yeah.
And I left that day, and I went home. And, Patrick, I was getting out of my car, and where I lived at, there was this person came up to me and said, "Hey, we'd like to invite you to our church." And I'm like, I just came back from my church. And I literally stunned myself. Like, I haven't been to church in 20 years. And I said this to this gentleman. He handed me a business card and said, "Okay, thanks." I went to my house and I saw that it said Crosswinds Churches. And it was a Protestant church. No big deal. Mm-hmm. And I flipped the card over and on the back it said, "Jesus loves you." I fell to the ground and I knew right then and there my life was going to change. And I did. I never touched it. I never touched another drug. I was totally tempted by it. 2 weeks later, my dealer called me up. I went over to the house. I said to God, "I'll buy a small amount instead of a big amount. That's better, right?" And I'm trying to make a deal with God in the car to my drug dealer's house. And I remember I went in the bathroom and I looked in the mirror at where the drugs were. And I said, I can't do this to this God that loves me. And I never touched it. I gave it back. I never took it. And I haven't ever done it since 1997. And that was Easter. I was 33 years old.
25 years
Easter
ago.
In 19... Yes. And it still affects me, though. I tell my story as much as I can to anybody who has children that are in, you know, drugs. I said, if you can pray for them, pray in proxy for them. That's what my mom did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God bless her for doing that for me, too.
Besides the alcohol, Terry, did pot play a role? Was there a progression of drugs? And if not, fair enough. But I mean, did you find yourself going down a slippery slope, or did it happen all at once?
Oh no, I was way going down the slippery slope. It was one line I did in the bathroom back when the person introduced this to me, and then I just kept buying more. And it was all speed, methamphetamines. That's a hard drug to get off of because you're just like this person that. That needs it. You can't live with it and you can't live without it. That's how I felt. Like I can't go without it, but I can't continue with it anymore either.
Yeah.
And it's such a hard stuff. I remember Father Karapi mentioning that before he became a priest, what he was involved with. And I'll never forget him saying that the Satanists pray over those drugs, or I shouldn't say pray, curse over. And really it does take over your body. It's a hard thing. Alcohol too. It's a twofer, you know?
So now that you're on the other side, and praise God that you've come to the point where you are, your relationship with your mom, your dad, you didn't mention if you're married or not, or if you have children or not, but I'm going to guess that things are a whole lot better and brighter now, 25 years later, than when you were contemplating suicide. That's kind of an understatement, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my mom and dad, I have a great relationship with him. Matter of fact, me and my dad, who I, you know, was a pinpoint of the part of, there was a lot of domestic violence. So seeing that as the oldest child, you take it all in, and started at 6 years old that I can remember. So I was so angry, so resentful, so hateful, so mad. And so I think Satan understood this, that, hey, she's going to take this like candy, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
To relieve myself of the pain, to get rid of those feelings, to get rid of the thoughts and the memories. Now my father lives with me.
Oh, really?
God's funny.
What a restoration.
God's really funny. I mean, we have our moments, but you know what? I've learned that forgiveness is the key to everything. I go to confession once a month. I have to. It is the most... The best medicine you can have for anything is confession. Even if it's the smallest little thing you do, I confess all my big stuff, but now I just keep myself on the straight and narrow by going to confession. I slip, you know, with certain things. I'm not a perfect person, but I know I have God. I don't think I've missed church since 19. Let me just tell you what my penance was.
Okay.
My penance was, from Father Dan, God love him, he's passed away, was to go to church on Sunday. That was my penance after not being in confession for 20-some-odd years, and I haven't stopped. I have never stopped.
That is good.
I've gone every Sunday. I can't go without it. So Yeah,
what a beautiful
my, I
story.
Guess the, my, yeah, just to let anybody listening who's got children, a family member, go to a prayer group, find a healing prayer group, have them stand in proxy for your child, for your parent, for whoever it is, and have them pray over. Matter of fact, the man that prayed over for my mom said his hands got so hot. And this was in St. Raymond up in Northern California. And he said his hands were so hot and he felt that there's going to be a healing. And there was. I mean,
I believe it, Terry. I believe it. Your story is an amazing one. And thanks to the prayers of your mother and all the other people in your life, probably during times when you didn't even think about them, and they were praying faithfully for you. What a powerful story. I'm glad you called to share it today, Terry. Thank you. Wow. Let's go to Paterson, New Jersey now and talk to Brother Sean. Hello, Brother Sean.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes.
How are you? Yeah, thanks for the plug a little while ago, Patrick.
Oh, are you a CFR?
I just wanted to comment. Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, from St. Michael's Friary in Paterson. But I wanted to comment a little bit about just working with the homeless and specifically addicts and people on the street. Called recently, talking about that. And just wanted to say that's something we do quite often. And we run into the same situations that you ran into, people asking for food and then not wanting it and wanting money and things of that nature. And we do give out food. We do give out little care packages to people when we walk the streets. But the main thing we try to do, it's almost like the things that we're giving out to them is kind of an excuse to stop and talk with them and get to know them a little bit and establish some sort of relationship. It might just be for 5 minutes or so, but you get to know their name, ask them about themselves, and treat them like a person because I think the biggest need that they have, and we never know what got them in that situation, but the biggest need anyone has is to be recognized as a person, to be listened to be treated like a normal person. We don't try to treat them like an addict, but as a person. And that's our main ministry. And then when you have a little conversation, it might lead to something else, or you say a prayer. You never know where that's going to lead. I mean, if you do it often enough, and I know that people aren't in a position to do that, this is our ministry, but you can strike up a real relationship, and get to know people by names, and there's a lot of fruit that can come from that. Maybe they're not going to get them to come back to church, but you give them some hope that that somebody's caring for them and listening to them and treating them like a person, like a child of God. So that's the main thing we try to do. Not so much worry about whether they're going to abuse what we're giving them or things like that.
Do you find, and I'm asking the question because I'm assuming the answer is yes, but do you find that people who are living on the streets like that, they feel invisible? And so when you make eye contact, maybe shake their hand, find out the name, that helps to, you know, in their own mind, kind of make them feel more human, more part of the community? I know it's maybe kind of a leading question, but that's what I've always assumed.
Oh, absolutely. We have several examples of brothers who've gotten to know people, and they tell us that, you know, you're the only person that's talked to me today. You know, I do this all the time. Maybe I'm panhandling or something like that, and no one even looks at me, let alone talks to me. But they're very appreciative of that. And that's, I think it's the deepest need, whether we realize it or not, just to have that relationship or that little bit of love that you might get from somebody, even if it's just 5 minutes. And even if just someone could just walk by someone and just say, God bless you, or how are you doing? If they don't have time to really stay, that's it goes a long way. And people really appreciate that. That's been our experience.
That's good to know. And I'm a great admirer of the work that you and your brethren are doing on the streets there. And your sister in too, for the female branch. Tell me, Brother Sean, for somebody who, like the gentleman who called earlier, living in a tent, he's in South New Jersey, if somebody like that gets in touch with you, what if any options would you recommend to somebody like that who wants to get back into an apartment setting, doesn't want to live in a dorm with a bunch of other, you know, people with problems? Do you have any, are there any resources, or what would you say to somebody in a case like that who really wants to get back on track again?
Yeah, well, we have certainly some referrals where we could get people in contact with. It's not an easy road, it's obvious. But I think they have to take it one step at a time at first, get to a shelter. There's a few shelters in Paterson that we could try and get them to.
Yeah.
we run a shelter ourselves that's in the South Bronx, so and it's kind of difficult when you meet someone in our area to get them over there. But you just try to work with them and reach out to the resources that we have and take it one step at a time. It's not an easy situation usually. Most of the time that the shelters can be full, so they have to be patient. But if people persevere with it and they really want it, eventually it's going to happen. And I think the gentleman who called earlier, unfortunately, hit it on the head. There's a lot of people that just do not want it. Right. We've worked with several people like that. One, a tragic case, a man who was homeless for many, many years. Every time we reached out to him, it just was rebuffed. And the last time, he had everything in his everything handed to him on a silver platter, really. He had a hospital room, sick. Got him a place. He was all set to go and just checked himself out. So it's.
I'm sorry to hear, Brother Sean, your phone is starting to cut in and out there. Sorry about that. Well, thank you. And God bless you and your brethren for all the good work that you're doing on the streets there. We're praying for you at this end as well. Thank you. We're coming back with hour three right after this. If you've been getting a busy signal, as often happens, just keep hitting redial, and we'll do our very best to get you on the air with your comment or question. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.